A.E. Kugelman flashed into the new Last Chance Saloon the other night, 6 or 8 martinis closer to the moon than the rest of the human race. John Clegg is the bartender there. "What'll it be?" he asked. "Let me have some Lady Effingham's eggs," Kugel said. Johnny laughed. "Wait till some night we're less crowded," he said. "Then give me a sandwich," Kay answered. "A triple-decker." John lined up 3 shot glasses in a row. He rimmed the first with 90-proof gin, 100-proof bourbon in the second, and some of that Nearer My God to Thee 168-proof Puerto Rico rum in the third. Kugel took them all in a row, easy as walking on water. "Give me some of that hot Chinese mustard for a chaser," he shouted, "and do it again. And turn the jukebox up louder, man." The chess players and the intellectuals looked up angrily. "Ain't no jukebox here, man," one yelled at Kugel. Kay looked at him. "Bland as your mother's cooking. You don't hear it, man?" We cut out of there and we made it over to the White Horse. "You know what's wrong with people? People who always talk about love?" Kugel asked me, pursuing some erratic train of association of his own as we walked up Hudson Street. "Only unloved people think love is that interesting. Unloved people are the ones who made up the whole romantic tradition. They wrote the poems, the songs. They made up the literature. Those cats really do believe love is magic, difficult to find, fleeting, overwhelming. And they made so much noise, they bullied the rest of us into going along with them. They made love a socially accepted neurosis. Listen, love is like money. It's only important when you don't have it. Love," Kugel said as we arrived at the White Horse, "love is a bore."
"Ah, sweet mystery of life."
He suddenly began to bay at the ceiling in a constricted throat, Nelson Eddy, Vaughn Monroe type voice.
"At last I found you."
John Hepburn immediately threw us out for that. And Kugel said, let's shoot on to the Remo. We stopped a cab, and when we were on the way, Kay pulled a pint gin bottle out from his raincoat pocket. "Let's see what's the action in the other saloons," he said. He uncorked the bottle of gin and held it to his ear like a telephone. In Julius's, Big Mary just told George Garn that she got a lot of 33 long play records for Christmas, and now all she needs is a long play man. And Ben Benton is in the Minetta, and Phil Doremus is telling him, "Sure, Ben, I introduced her to him myself, but she'd never go for a lost, wistful kind of a guy like that, a guy who's throwing his life away, would she?" Kugel suddenly took the bottle from his ear and stared into it angrily. "Will the wiretappers please get off the line?" he shouted into it. He clapped it back to his ear and listened for a while in silence. Then he shook the bottle up like it was unhomogenized, dabbled some gin behind his ears, took a big belt, and passed the jug on to me. "Tell me," I said, "if that murderer John Clegg poured you as a sandwich, what is Lady Effingham's eggs?" "Listen," he said, "if you don't know, ask someone else. I don't want to be the first one turns you on that." Libby and Doty were in the San Remo, and they ran up to Kugel with a scream of pleasure. Kugel hugged them both and dragged them over to sit, one on each knee, near the jukebox. He shoved his ear into the amplifier. "Ah, yeah, yeah," he said. "Noise, noise. I can get high on noise." He put $18 in the machine. "I like the lights bright," he said, ordering another round. "The music louder. I like to be out. I got no use to stay home. All I got in my icebox is ice cube trays, hundreds of them, and a little cooking sherry. I use the kitchen for an ashtray. I hang my clothes on the floor. Someone wanted to give me a dog. I said, don't give me no animal. You own a cat or a dog, you might as well get married, have a kid. You got to go home every day to walk the dog anyway, don't you?" He turned back to the juke. "Louder, louder, man," he shouted at the big, red, hot, beautiful machine.